You're a climate scientist. You've devoted your life to your subject, and then, one day, you get a call. You've been asked to be one of the lead authors in a chapter of the next report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC. The UN has asked you, as one of the leading experts in your field, to assess and collate all the latest research from thousands of groups across the globe, to contribute to the largest compendium of climate research in existence for the perusal of all the world's governments. What an honour. Time to pop open a bottle of the bubbly? Ask Dave Griggs. He's a climate scientist at the University of Monash in Australia, and he's been involved in the IPCC for well over a decade, acting as an expert reviewer in the latest report published this week. In a comment, he discusses what it's like to write a chapter of the IPCC report, and he gave me a bit of a reality check.
I had a very long email from a scientist who said, "I don't know how you dare ask me to do this again. The last time it nearly ruined my life. You know, I spent months writing my chapter." And then, of course, once you write your chapters, it's sent out for review by all of the world's experts. So you get in thousands, sometimes literally thousands of comments back. You have to look at those comments, amend your chapter, and then it goes out to review again by the experts again to see whether you've done a good job of taking those review comments into account, and to all the world's governments. You get thousands of comments back again. And then you rewrite your chapter again. Then finally, it goes to a meeting of the governments where they try and agree the summary of the report word by word. And so you get all of the world's governments, you know, attacking and testing the science. And then the report gets published, and he said, "You know, I got attacked by climate deniers. It nearly ruined his life, and his wife threatened to leave him, and, you know, it nearly ruined his marriage." And then there was just the last line of the email saying, "Of course I'll do it again. It's the most important thing I've ever done." So I think that kind of sums up for people why scientists take part in the IPCC. They take part because they feel they're doing something important.
Now, you mentioned that governments are very involved in this as well, which is something that's a little different to a lot of scientific collaborations.
That's right. And an occasion when they helped was in a report we said that a particular thing was significant. And the government said, "Well, what do you mean by significant? Do you mean that it's a 1% chance or a 5% chance or a 10% chance or a 50% chance?" And the author sort of went, "Oh, well, we hadn't really thought about that. We just think it's significant." And so that the authors then had to go away and actually sit down together and say, "Well, you know, well, what actually do we mean by this?" So that was an occasion where the governments were extremely helpful. There are other occasions where perhaps they're not so helpful. I mean, in the third assessment report, when we came to the final plenary, we had just the second sentence of the report, which said something like, this report has been produced by many scientists from many countries. Virtually every government in the room put their hand up and wanted to make a comment on this sentence about what do we mean by many hundreds of scientists and what do we mean by many countries. And this went on for hours and hours and hours. And you have 4 days to approve this summary, which is about 10 to 20 pages. You know, and after half a day, we hadn't got past the first sentence, and I was getting really desperate.
Is this difficulty in making this report, is it something that's inherent in a collaboration this size, or is there something about the IPCC and or the content matter, perhaps, that makes this such a difficult thing to create?
Anything that is this complex is going to be very difficult. You know, climate science is really hard science. You know, these climate models that make the predictions of future climate change, you know, can be a million lines of computer code put together by hundreds of scientists. You know, they run on the world's most complex supercomputers. It's by no means a straightforward undertaking to boil that down into something which is, you know, easy and understandable and, you know, accessible to people.
So looking to the future, do you think that we're going to be continuing to produce IPCC reports, or is there ever going to be a time when either the scientists have worked themselves so hard they can't keep lifting their pen, or we don't maybe need them anymore?
I think there will continue to be the need for IPCC or something like it for a considerable amount of time in the future. As I say, although the basic science is pretty solid, the deeper understanding, there is still a huge way to go. The fact of climate change and the impacts that that's going to have on the world are not going to go away. They're not going to magically disappear. So I think that for many, many decades to come, we will need the best possible information that we can provide on the science, the impacts, and how we mitigate climate change. And of course, it's not always the same scientists every time. So once you've done one or two shifts, then you step aside and you let the next generation come through. I think there'll always be a new generation of dedicated climate scientists willing to put themselves through the ringer for the next report.
Sort of like the climate scientist version of National Service.
Yeah, kind of. You've got to put your time in.
That was Dave Griggs.